Hello, everybody. This is Schmitty with another episode of Talkin' Schmidt. Today on the program, John Worthington. That's right, Jay Worth. Tim McKenney, first impression, ASAP. Let's go.
And now, another first impression from Timothy Donald McKenney.
First impressions of the Lord Worthington. It's actually my first trip back in skateboarding. I went with my boss, Barrow, and his nephew, Eddie, to the B Street. And it was to meet Josh Moss and Matt Pales. And it was a killer session. I remember getting there, Matt Rod's behind the counter. I'm tripping. I'm skating the quarter pipe, doing wall ride, just getting pumped. And we're having the killer session. Pales is killing it. Moshi's filming. And there's this long hair. And he's flying. And as soon as I see him flying, instantly the Danny Way song goes in my head. Birds fly so high. And so does John Worthington. And there's documented footage of him flying over the thing. That's pretty much the same as I saw it through my eyes. It's like, damn, this kid's something special. A couple of years later, look at this fucker in a pool. God damn it.
Hey, it's Corey at Blue Plate, 3218 Mission Street. Come see us. Meatloaf, fried chicken, deviled eggs, Dollar Olympia beers. We're here every day of the week. We got a garden, and we got smiles on our faces. Come let us make you happy.
4, 5, 7.
All right, I just want to start out by saying sorry. Sometimes we fit these in where we can, and it happens to be in the middle of a fucking fire alarm drill. So sorry for that. If you hear that in the background, that's what it is. And also a big shout out to Hansi Driscoll for lining up my next guest. Here he is.
Hey, what's up? This is John Worthington, and you're listening to Talkin' Schmidt.
A little bit of intro.
Talkin' Schmidt.
I'm already not watching.
It's cool, like tonight is the night.
When you bring it, you gotta sing it.
I wouldn't say it was fun.
What do you mean, bro? Christian Fletcher's younger brother.
Fuck the Dodgers.
Oh, big dog's in. What do you think, Colin?
We on? Schmitty?
You wanna break in, you gotta get broke in.
And it's good to hear all this love.
Talkin' Schmidt, right?
It's skateboarding.
I remember that.
Who sent you?
Dude, we need a magazine.
Black skateboarding history is very important.
Yes. This is the moment.
Holy shit.
What is happening?
I'm here for Greg Smith. Yay!
Gregory.
Wi-Fi check one, Wi-Fi check two.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We got a good one this week. We got Creature Pro, Glass Blower, NorCal, Pool Ripper. The list goes on, but this is John Worthington. What's up, John? How are you?
Hey, what's up? I'm doing good. Getting warmed up at my workshop here in Sacramento.
You gonna do some glass today?
Yeah, a couple little glass projects and another little meeting about an art show.
Is your business taking off a little bit after the Thrasher Art and Destroyer?
Yeah, it's been cool. I definitely got a little bit of a good buzz from that, but it's always just slow and steady.
The big question I had was, did Bodef take a rip off the finished product?
No, nobody has.
Because you're selling it, right?
Yeah. I still have it for sale.
That thing was amazing. I was like, this is fucking sick. I didn't know. Like, I knew what you did, but I didn't know it was that intense. Like, that one was killer. Like, especially for me, I'm a big fan of China Banks, you know? So it's like seeing that you put all that into that and how, I mean, that was gnarly. That was a big piece.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. It was a big project, and I wanted to just try to think of something cool that, like, the skater audience would identify with and would just be special. And I tried my best to do that.
I think it came out great. And with Ewan, you're always going to have really good cinematography. And then Bublitz, I think, edited it. Like, that was one of my favorite ones, really. Not even blowing smoke up your ass. It was just like, I watched that and I hit up Ewan right away. I was like, dude, that one's sick. Like, awesome. Like, the glass just looks so cool in HD too. Like, the lighting and everything. It was a good one for sure.
Awesome. Thank you.
Well, tell me, you were born, I think, in Encinitas or something, but you grew up in Auburn, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. My dad was in the Coast Guard, and so I moved like just along the coast, along his schedule through my childhood, just from Encinitas to near San Francisco, and then up to near Sacramento to Auburn.
How soon were you aware of skateboarding? Like, is that where you picked it up for the first time?
My dad skated some, and so he just spoon fed it to me. And so I was skating like when I could walk, and I have all kinds of like cool pictures of when I was just a super little kid, riding around and whatever.
Oh, wow. Okay. So your dad, he skates a lot.
Yeah. He doesn't skate so much anymore, but he grew up in Texas, and he grew up skating the ditches and some of the, couple swimming pools and, whatever they could find out there. And so, yeah, he just showed it right to me. And similarly with like, BMX, we used to always ride bikes when I was a young kid, and he used to take me, BMX racing, which I really liked too.
Yeah. Sick, dude. So when it comes to swimming pools, did you skate one or swim in one first?
I definitely swam in one first. Yeah. But actually, I think the first swimming pool I skated was the community pool in my hometown. So it was actually like the one I'd swam in like dozens of times and just always stared down at the bottom and like just could tell there was something down there. Mm. And then one day I got to skate it.
Rad. What?
Yeah, maybe like 13 or 14 or something.
What year did you move to Auburn?
I'd have to think about it. Maybe around 2002.
The skate park was there already?
Yeah, it was already there.
Okay. Did you, like Grass Valley, Lake of the Pines, that area has some pretty legendary dudes in the skateboard world, snowboarders too, but I don't know that much about snowboarding, but like Chris Sen, John Cardiel, Toad, Hanzi, there's like a pretty big crew of rippers that come from that area, which is right by Auburn. Was that in your mind at all? Did you hear about these dudes that came before you from that area at all?
I had definitely like grown to learn of some of the local legends, and some of the spots they skated are still there in that area, which is cool. So you can still like go there and just like, you're just forced to respect them and what they've done. Cause it's just still exists, which is awesome.
And that Grass Valley Park's pretty fun too.
Yeah, definitely. I grew up skating the Auburn skate park, and the Grass Valley Park is kind of like a brother sister type of park. So I loved going there cause it was just similar, but different to my home park.
So what was some of the early days like for you skating pools? Like in the very beginning, what were some of your struggles? What were some of the keys you found? Like, were you more of a backside or a frontside guy? Like what kind of was your mold in the beginning to get the whole thing started?
So I had skated like maybe three pools, through my childhood and like before I was 17 or 18. And, like nothing really exciting happened by any means. Like I was just kind of like, oh wow, this is a pool. Like this is like, there's actual walls that you can't just ride up. Mm. And I just was kind of feeling it out and just, you know, I got to skate one with my buddy, Andy Jarrett in Grass Valley, which was cool. But then by the time I was like 17 or 18 and I was like, just had a little bit more skills under my belt, and I was already kind of like a mini ramp champ at that point, and I could already skate the deep bowls that I was skating in Sacramento and Auburn at my buddy Eric's bowl, the Beeble Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
Like right around that time, I could just skate the big stuff easy. I could skate mini ramps. And then when I just started getting access to skating pools and really just seeing what I could do, it was just a lot easier because I just had like a much greater understanding at that point. And so I could just skate the deep end like relatively good because that was the most similar to what I had been practicing. But then my good buddies, they were all about the shallow end and they wanted to just carve over the cake and like try to get some of the unique features about the pool. And so I just similarly like just tried to get over every cake we found, tried to grind every shallow end or just skate each unique feature about the pool and not so much just like the deep end where I might be able to do a trick I already know.
Mm.
But that's really like the path that kind of like just has sent me to where I'm at, basically.
I've skated a lot of pools, but in no shape or form am I very good at it. But I have some friends like Pete Colpitz, Tony Farmer, some of these guys that kind of pride themselves in like finding pools and skating some gnarly shit and that stuff. So I have a great appreciation for it. It's always a pleasure seeing you, especially like some of the pools that I saw you skate have these really wide stairs and it almost seems like that's the target. Like I got to get over that.
Yeah. A lot of the time it is. And oftentimes like I really like to go to every size and shape pool that I get a chance to check out, because sometimes if most of the pool's not looking good, it starts to make the cake look a little better or just something like that.
Mm.
And so you never know. And just with like experience, like after carving so many cakes, I can just go over a little wider one and a little wider one. And now at this point, it's sometimes like comical. Like I'm just like, oh, that's a really big one. Like I have to at least try.
Dude.
Because it's just, it's just been ongoing fun and a struggle.
The front feeble and that creature part, that was so sick.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that was a special one.
Who are some of the guys that kind of like you're looking up at as like inspiration as you're getting better and figuring this whole thing out and stuff? Who are the guys that are like kind of firing you up?
So one of my really good friends that like inspired me to skate pools, and he has like a lot of access to pools where he lives, is my buddy JoJo Heffington. And he lives like an hour or two down the Central Valley from where I'm at. And he really like, I would just go skate with him a lot and just try to go toe to toe with him. And we would just try to push ourselves and try to like rise to the occasion of like the challenge a lot of the time, because the pools always are like such a challenge. And like, if you don't have like just the grit and just the goal to hopefully like meet the mark, then there's no way you're going to do it, because it's always a high mark.
Mm. I'm sure there's tons of stories about like whether you broke in, snuck into the back of somebody's, or people came home or something. Is there one that stands out, like a crazy pool mission story that like was pretty hectic?
Yeah. I mean, almost every time it turns into something for sure. Yeah. So all kinds of highs and lows of getting kicked out from somewhere. And then as you're walking out, you just happen to say the right thing. And then they end up just being like, oh, you guys can stay. And then we just get to turn around and just get to skate and end up making friends with the person kicking us out or something.
Sure.
I'd have to think about it for a minute,
mm-hmm.
But it's always something.
What comes to mind immediately without thinking too hard is Tristan Rennie, Cody Lockwood, some of these guys that fucking rip pools equally. Have you skated with most of the top pool rippers? And like, is that something that like makes you extra driven, or that you'd rather just skate with your friends?
I love the opportunity to skate with other like pros or anyone that's just like ripping on that day. And it is super special to see it in person, because I kind of feel like I've a lot of things I've felt like I've almost discovered on my own, or discovered my own abilities like on my own, not really like just seeing it right in front of me and trying to do it. But yeah, just I do prefer though to just stay like in my home area, and it's fun to skate with my local buddies. So I mean, I like both, but it's really special when I get to skate with other pros, and especially those guys where I get to just like just see it in front of you, and you're just like, wow. It like when you see it right in front of you, it really like just feels differently.
Fuck yeah. No, for real. Yeah, what's the deal with this guy, Sean Blewett? I don't know if I'm saying his last name right, but I know he's a big inspiration for you. And I was talking to Kowalski.
And now, another first impression from Kevin Kowalski.
What's up? This is Talking Schmidt. We're meeting Jay Worth today, and I just wanted to let everybody know one of my first impressions of him. Anyways, I met him in Sacramento with Sean Blewett, and when I first met those two, I could just see the fire in their eyes. They got each other so stoked, and it reminded me of when I met Cody Lockwood, and I just knew we were going to be friends and skate a bunch together and see a lot of cool stuff, and yeah, ever since then, I've just got so fired up to skate with Jay Worth and Sean Blewett. Those two, they know how to get the session revved up. But hell yeah, Jay Worth, stoked to skate with you again soon. And you too, Sean. See you guys later. Peace.
Yeah, so Sean is one of my best friends here in Sacramento, and he lives really close by to me. And so, and also him and I both share the passion of like bike riding and bike jumping. And so he and some of his buddies for like 10 plus years, they've been working on this little dirt jump spot that they call Swisher Woods. And when I started to, when I moved to Sacramento from Auburn, I had already like 10 years experience of bike riding and bike jumping. And so like, for one, Sean is just a ripping skater and he loves to just go fast. He likes to catch air, whether that's like jumping down a giant set of stairs or doing the biggest backside air he can. And then at the same time, he's an amazing BMX rider and he can out jump almost anyone. And I kind of similarly, like I'm just inspired by like, I saw my dad brought me to the X Games in San Francisco when I was like four.
Tony Hawk's 900.
Yeah. And so I just remember like just seeing people flying on skateboards, and I just did BMX racing. And so I just love to catch air and just fly around too. And so we were just two peas in a pod for a long time. And we still are.
What kind of bike do you have?
I ride a dirt jumper, like a mountain bike with shocks on the front.
What's the brand?
It's a SE. I actually forget, but it's a newer bike that I just got recently.
But it's a hardtail, just front shocks?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a hardtail.
And what, because so my friends are into this and I've been trying to get into it. And it's, I mean, I don't know if you got any suggestions here, but like to just start jumping is, it's like taking a step that's kind of crazy. Like slamming on a bike seems just like something you don't want to ever do. As a skateboarder that's eaten shit my whole life, doing it on a bike just seems way more dangerous to me. So like, obviously like bunny hops and stuff like that to get comfortable. But like when you go to the first, like, okay, this is a jump. I mean, do you just got to hold on and have the guts, or is there like ways to step up to these things?
There's definitely a natural progression. And I grew up in Auburn where it's like a more mountainous area, and there's a lot of like mountain biking with intense ups and downs. And there were some dirt jumps that I discovered near where I grew up. And so I like just started off jumping off curb cuts and just, right, you know, getting like 6 inches of air. And then I just, you know, found a jump a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger. And then just now at this point, like kind of similarly where if I'm skating along and I see like a 3 foot gap and I'm just like, oh, easy, I can just ollie that. I can see if I'm mountain biking or riding my bike at bike jumps and I see like a 6 to 10 foot gap, I can, that's like a, you know, I've already practiced it, or I just see that it's safe. I can just bunny hop right across that. Right. And so it is really similar to skating in certain ways. And just the scale is a little bit bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a lot of control over the bike too. So it is almost easier at times. And if I go out for an afternoon of riding bikes at our bike jumps, I don't anticipate like having to jump off the bike at any time, really. I can just kind of just warm up and then just do the jumps. And I don't really do tricks, so I can just kind of safely ride. And it's really satisfying to just land it every time and just have that much control in the air.
Yeah, I mean, like on skateboard, you can run shit out, and like on a vert ramp, you fly up in the air, and you know you're not gonna make it, so you throw the board away and you kind of just jump down. But in a bike, is the idea like don't try anything that you're gonna have to jump off of, or is there a way for you to feel comfortable where you're tossing it aside for like trying to figure out like the exact proper jump and stuff?
So you can toss the bike aside, and sometimes that's like last resort. You're like, get this thing out of here. But a lot of the time, you can just kind of stepping stone your way into like a bigger jump. So like I'll start off just riding. If it's like a double where the jump and the landing are separated, I'll just start off by riding off the jump off to the side and just land to flat. And then you just kind of get a feel like, all right, you get a feel of the slope of the jump. And sometimes you can just go off of the jump and clear the gap and land next to the landing and just kind of be like, all right, now I've like felt out the jump, I've felt out the gap, time to shoot over the landing.
That makes sense. I mean, that is a lot like skateboarding. Because you could do the same thing on a fun box or whatever. You're like kind of edging your way on the side. Then you look over and you're like, I cleared it. Now I can do it. That vibe.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Tell me about Lifeblood Days. How did that all come? Did you know Bryce already? Did he reach out to you as somebody you didn't know? Like, how did that go down?
Yeah, so basically, my friend Eric Biebelheimer was building this huge epic bowl at his house in Auburn when I was around 16 or 17. And it was just such a huge project. And like everyone that we knew was tuned into it and was aware that it was happening and just how cool it was. And so he got a lot of people to come help, and a lot of people were just had their eyes on the project and whatever. And then as soon as it was done, it was just like, it was amazing. It was just such good quality. And then we were all just able to skate it really good right away too. So it was just for everyone in our area, that was a big deal for a few years. And it drew the attention of like all our friends and all our friends of friends. And I think that's potentially like had a hand in how Bryce like gained interest in sponsoring me. But also similarly, just before he had started sponsoring Sean with Lifeblood. So that also helped me and Sean get a little closer too, because we got opportunities to go do stuff together and we were just making little goals and trying to challenge each other all the time.
Did you go on any trips?
We went on a few small trips. We went to the Wendell's camp near Mount Hood.
I love that place.
Yeah. And so I got to go with Sean, and they still had the huge jump into the airbag.
Yeah.
And so we were just like, we were flying off of that thing just as fast as we could go, as high as we could go. That was super memorable. And because that's like, that's classic for like, go somewhere with Sean and he's like, I'm hitting the biggest jump, I'm getting the biggest air. And so there we were, like, we got them to inflate the airbag for us and we were doing it.
Yeah, when we went there, my friend basically learned backflips. He had never done them before, and he started doing them into the foam pit, and then he took it to that, because the foam pit's indoors, it's a smaller one, and then outdoors is that big one into the air mattress, and I got a photo of him just flailing. We were so hyped, because we're like, this guy's never done this before, and here he goes. It's super sick. That's one of my favorite places I ever have gone to skate. Like Wendell's camping, the terrain, the people. It's like, it is one of the funnest, best places, I think.
Yeah, totally. I've returned like 3 or 4 times, and I plan to keep returning because I just love the opportunity to like be a guest skater at a summer camp and just get to influence some kids and just play around with them for a week and just kind of show them that like adults are cool sometimes and stuff like that.
Hell yeah. No, that's one of the vibes I've heard about you is like people have told me they've seen you at skate parks or random places and you come up and you skate with the kids and stuff and that you're super cool and like trying to like encourage people to do their best and that kind of stuff. Like, is that from your dad? Like, where do you get that?
I feel like I'm more of like a reserved person, like just on my own. And then just through just getting to be a sponsored skater and just eventually getting to be a pro skater, like I just feel like I get cool opportunities to like do things for other people and just share it, like, and just it gets to be so much more than just like something for me, basically. And right. Like all I have to do is just like give like even the smallest interactions like might be like super special to other people sometimes. And like another thing is so often like I'll go somewhere and you'll just see some people and you're just like, oh, like I don't know them, I'm not gonna say anything. But then like sometimes it turns out like they already know who I am and they like want to talk to me and they're just waiting for they're just waiting for me to say hi, for them to just spill out like, hey, how's it going? Like, this is my name. Like, I've been wanting to say hello, but I've just felt uncomfortable. And so I've just like, I'm more of a reserved person, but it's kind of fun for me to like break the ice sometimes and just then just let people like just be stoked or do what they really wanted to say or, you know, something like that. Give them a little bit of advice and just get them stoked or something.
That's a good perspective. Challenge yourself and stoke out other people. I mean, when I started doing this podcast for the first time, it was a huge part of it was like, I want to challenge, like, I'm not good at, I don't reach out to people and talk to people a lot. And I didn't have like skills of asking people. I mean, I work for the mag, so I did do some interviews and stuff, but like this was a whole different formula. And then when COVID hit, it was just like, I was thriving off like learning more and more about it. But also the most, like I always tell people, like being able to connect with people, especially during lockdown, was like, it was like therapeutic in some ways.
Yeah, that's super cool. And totally. I'm probably similarly, like you've just grown to now you just turn on the camera and you just start saying hello to the person on the other end. You don't wait for you to like be unconscious or kind of let your natural reactions to happen. You already know, like I'm here to talk to this person or just kind of socialize a little bit and just put it out there.
It's crazy. Yeah. In the beginning, like this whole interface, like, because I did them in person at first, but then lockdown forced us to not be together. And then this started becoming easier, like, oh, I can hit up somebody in New Zealand and do one, you know, like, so it opened up that door. But like, the hard part was like this, like looking at you on a monitor and talking to you like Star Trek or something. I was like, I don't know, this is weird. And then having the other person have comfort too, like, it's been like interesting how some people are just totally comfortable, others aren't. But yeah. So how does the transfer to the Creech go?
It was just really cool, and I was really stoked to be a part of it. And Cody Lockwood, from who I had known from Lifeblood, and him and Kevin have always kind of just looked out for me and Sean, and just had interest in us and what we're doing, because we're always just up to some kind of mischief. And one day they asked if I was interested, and I of course totally am, and I'm super stoked on the opportunity to like be a sponsored skater. And just that's my dream, or just one of my dreams. So like sometimes you just have to just take opportunities, or you know, just try to make it happen. And I just felt like this was an awesome opportunity, and got to keep the little sponsored skating going for another time period. And so I love it.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to me, it seems to me that your background and like what you're into kind of goes hand in hand with the Creature vibes.
Yeah, I'm super stoked. I've always been a fan, and like I've had some different skate shop sponsors, and like if they've gotten a Creature collab skate shop deck, oh my God, I would like covet it and just shred it.
Right.
I have like a bunch of cool clips of me when I was younger skating like Creature boards, and just looking exactly as I do now, basically.
Sick. Just
not much has changed.
I mean, those are my homies. Like Darren's one of my good friends, Al, Sam, Gravette. We met Gravette the day he got on Creature. It was like in Arlington up at the skate park up there. We were on a trip, And this kid that was like, who the fuck's this kid? Now he's David Gravett. But like, yeah, those are the homies for sure. Talk about I think it was a surprise, right? When you got your board at FDR?
Yeah, it was a surprise.
So how's that whole day? Like, what was you guys were there? What was it? The indie thing?
It was a contest, an indie contest there, but we had the, some of the creature team and we were on a cross country trip. Mm. And so we had flown to Atlanta, I believe. And then we road tripped up to Philadelphia. And then that was kind of the finale of our trip. And so, that particular day, we were just at the end of our trip. I was feeling hurt that day. And so I didn't even go to the contest because I just needed rest. And I had a hurt leg that I couldn't really stand on. And so I just like kind of bugged out from the crew. And I was like, I can't go to the contest. Like my leg is too hurt to stand on. I can't be in a crowd. I can't be at a concert. I need to just like rest on this day. And then we're flying home tomorrow. So it's like, I gave it my all for 8 days or something. And then I've just like, I had a hurt leg that was still on the mend from breaking it about a year before. And I could not stand on it or like be in a crowd. And so I'm staying back at the hotel and just resting today. And so, I did that and, had plans to do that. And my grandmother lives in Philadelphia. So I just had lunch with her. And all day, everyone was kind of leaving me be, but also kind of bugging me, telling me that they wanted to get me to the contest. And I was just fighting it the whole day. I was like, I'm hanging out with my grandma. I can't walk really. I'm not skating. I'm not going in a crowd. I don't care about a concert. Like, I'm sorry, guys. Like, it's just not my day today. And then eventually, like after dark, they're just blowing me up and trying to get me to come and on my phone calling and stuff. And eventually somebody talks me into coming to, they're like, we want to come pick you up just to get a group photo at the contest. And so I was like, all right. I mean, like, I don't have to walk much for that. I can just stand in one place and get this photo and then they can take me back or something.
Right.
And then we get there. And then just pretty soon after, I could just hear the whole event that was just a huge crowd of people filling the whole main bowl at FDR, just starting to chant my name. And then it was just like, oh my God, I know what's happening over there. And then I like just had to get kind of help and just limped my way like 100 yards over to the stage. And they turned me pro right at that moment.
That's so sick, dude. And Sam was kind of on the mic orchestrating like the whole thing. I wasn't there, but I saw the video clips of it, right?
Yeah, totally.
That's amazing. So that was really special, yeah?
Yeah, it was really special. It was just like kind of a comedic day though, just with like, I would never break from the group. Normally I would skate the whole day on a skate trip, like from dawn till we go to bed, like just chugging water and like Pedialyte and beer at night. And just like, just trying to soak up the trips and just soak up whatever spot we're at. Or, if it was a contest at FDR, I normally would just try to skate the contest all day long, like regardless if I was a little hurt. But my leg was totally like, I could not really walk on it. And I broke both the bones of my leg a year before, and it was still just on the mend. And it was just, it was just not at all like my day to skate. So yeah. Kind of a funny story. And then I just did not want to come there. Like, they just kept trying to get me to go. And I was like, I'm not going there.
I wonder what it was like on the other side, because they probably had it all planned and you're leaving the next day and they're like, we got to get this dude here. How are we going to do this? You know?
Yeah, totally. And everyone anticipated I was going to skate in the contest too, because I was skating the day before. And so everyone's like, oh, John's not skating the contest and he's not even coming here. Like, what?
That's cool.
It is what it is.
What did you think of Mikasa?
It was amazing. I loved it. It was a lot of fun. Pretty steep, but smooth relatively. The only time that was available or possible to skate it is before 8 a.m. And it's like in a remote mountainous area of a secondary island of Japan on the northern side. And so we were staying like an hour or more away, maybe 2 hours away. We had to, we met up at the van at like 5 a.m. or something. And then we drove just in the dark still out into the mountains. And then we pull up to the spot at like 6 a.m. And it's just the sun's like starting to peek over the mountains and it's like dew out. And it was just super beautiful. And it was just really special for us because also it was one of the first spots of our trip. So we had traveled for like 2 or 3 whole days at that point to get to that spot, basically.
Who was the crew?
Chris Russell, Willis Kimball, Milton. We got a couple of the Japanese guys, Sota, Provost.
Oh, sick, dude.
Yeah, and another Japanese guy, Kapi, I think was with us.
Okay.
We had a rad crew. We had a bunch of guys.
I made like a still watching of those guys' trip where Bailey had the cover going over a ladder. How come you had to skate it before 8? Is there security there now?
Yeah, there was security, and it's a like a functioning business, and it's in front of their business, like in between the road and like some of the other parts of their business. And so it's obvious if you're there, basically. And so, yeah, they have like a little alarm that goes off at like 8 o'clock, and that's pretty much like we're open, game on.
Wow. Okay. Damn.
But they have like a go-kart track, and they have like metal slides and just some things that are like old school amusement center type things.
Okay. Sick. Is that one of your favorite trips? Like, is Japan one of the best ones? Where have you gone that you really want to go back, like that really struck you?
It was super special for me, and it's the only trip I've been on out of the country.
Okay.
And so I got my passport like just for that, and then just off we went. In the last 6 months, this past October.
So that was first time out of the country?
Yeah.
Damn, that's a good one. Japan, dude. Wow.
Yeah, it was amazing. And we got to tour a lot of the country, and we just had great tour guides and just super good vibes. And yeah, we killed it. I'm really excited for the next creature video that's coming out, because I think all our whole creature Japan tour will be in there.
Okay.
And also we were the whole time, we were also just imagining all of the cool stuff that happened there in the old creature videos, and also and Steve Bailey. But yeah, it was just so special to us, and we were just like, oh my God, they skated this in the rain. This is where they had the fire pit. This is like, and we were looking around in the bushes for the ladder and stuff like that. Like, we were trying to just soak up all the everything that we'd known about it and all the history that we could.
Yeah, that photo of Hewitt with the bonfire in the middle is just so epic. And Diego's like looking in, like, I love it. That's one of my favorite photos. Like, super, like, I feel like that's the ethos of what skateboarding kind of means to us. It's like going with your friends, finding some crazy ass spot, fucking burning it and just ripping. And like, man, I think that's like the opening spread of the Thrasher book or something. Like, it's definitely a prominent photo since it's been taken. I was tripping on this because you skate for OJ, right?
Yeah.
So what I notice in your work, you use the Spitfire swirl a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really just, I try to make a bunch of different little things that are homage to skateboarding and different brands. Like, I like that skateboarding is like, there's the brand is so important, you know, like, it's like, that's a zero board. People aren't thinking like, that's a deck. People are like, you know, it's like the brand, like, just means so much to us because there's not much else to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about just the personalities and stuff that we like and whatever. And so I just love that. And just in my glass blowing, I like trying to just do what I can to imitate that with glass and try to make a OJ wheel, try to make a Spitfire wheel, try to make a truck, try to make this and that. And it's just the Spitfire spiral is just something that it's just become one of, like, it just crosses over the best. Like, it's relatively simple for me to make. It really shows, like, classic glass blowing skills and techniques that aren't like drawing a picture of a graphic type of thing. Like, it's because it's a much different process than like a drawing, because yeah, it's just made out of sections of straight lines. And so it's just one thing that stuck and resonated a lot with people. And I'm always looking for like, what's the best way for me to make something skate it related? Like, what's the fastest thing that I can make? What's like the cleanest thing that I can make? What's like the most professional? And just the Spitfire spiral just meets all of those marks pretty much.
Yeah. And it's like the classic fucking, yeah. I remember I had that shirt forever when it first came out. Like the classics, I still skate the 55 classics to this day, the Spitfire 55 classics. It has the fucking, the whole spiral thing. What's your setup?
I like a 8.6 creature board with the VX technology. So it has the two fiberglass layers and it's only 5 plies thick. So that's like my favorite board to ride. And then I'll ride a 149 independent trucks. So it's like just a little bit narrower than the board, but I do like specifically like that. And then I like 53 or 54 millimeter OJ wheels that are the Elite formula.
Mm-hmm.
That's my favorite wheel to skate by far.
Right.
I love those wheels. And I like smaller. I like 53 or 54 with no riser, and then I'll just skate them until as long as I can until I notice that they're like visibly smaller and coned out usually.
Yeah. What's the deal with, somebody was telling me something about to ask you about the bumper on your truck.
I have just a little like 90s Toyota Tacoma that's 4-wheel drive, and I just been making slow improvements to make it more like off-road capable, like as I've owned it over the last 8 years, because it was just like a really small, modest truck when I got it with nothing special about it and just super high miles and old. And I've just, I love cars, and I went to college for mechanical engineering.
Oh, sick.
So I have a bachelor's degree in mechanical engineering, and I anticipated like having a job in that field, but I just found glass blowing at a similar time and just kind of just took that left turn instead after I had gotten my degree. But back to the bumper, I just have like tubular bumpers that I had a local guy make my rear bumper, but my front bumper, my friend and I made ourselves, and it has a winch in it and like a kind of aggressive skid plate on the bottom. And it's just made for just blasting around, and has super high clearance for riding up slopes and going over stuff.
Oh man, Bryce just texted me. That's funny. Okay, so have you ever done the thing where like Zero did in King of the Road, where you like push the whatever the pole?
Make a pole down.
Yeah,
yeah, I have once, but it's I like to go off roading and up to in Humboldt. You can drive on the sand dunes. Oh. And it's like really like moguly and ups and downs. And so when I go and do that, I was just smashing my bumper into the ground, going like over two aggressive slopes and just getting stuck. And so all kinds of stuff. And so I made these bumpers where I can like put an off-road jack like right onto the bumper and just jack it up. And so it helps with like off-road recovery. And then I have a winch, so I'll help people that are stuck and like pull them out. Or if I get stuck, I could use the winch to like self recover myself.
Right.
And then it's also like a lot higher clearance. So if I like ride up a steep slope, the bumper's like less likely to drag Or like I've also like been driving past a big log on the side of the trail and I'm like, oh, I can squeeze past this, but then I accidentally like just brushed up against it and the tube bumper is like more robust and sturdy than your stock one, and so it'll you know not get pushed around or bent around as much just from like kind of light duty things like that.
Sounds like you're a fucking kind of a maniac. Did you ever go to Lincoln City and visit Red?
I have a couple times been there.
That sounds like a place you would enjoy. I mean, oh, the bikes, yeah, everything, like it's yeah. So sick.
Yeah, I also like my dad kind of spoon fed me dirt bike riding as a kid. Uh-huh. After BMX racing, just straight into dirt bike riding. And so I love everything that Mark does. Like, yeah, he's got dirt bike trails. He's got an insane deep bowl. Yes. He's got a concrete business. Like, that's a man's man right there.
Absolutely. And the best part that people don't hear, I don't think enough, is how fucking hospitable him and his wife and the family are up there. Like, when we stay there, they go beyond. Like, all of a sudden in the morning, she's got a Starbucks huge coffee thing, donuts. Like, we're like, what? You gave us your house to camp at. You don't need to. And they're just the coolest. I fucking love them so much.
Yeah, totally. I've gotten to meet him a handful of times and skate with him. And I want to get in there and just help build a skate park from start to finish just to do it once.
Yeah,
because I like doing DIY and I'd love to just like soak that up, because I know it's like, you know, I'm used to like the one day process concrete.
Right.
I want to see what the month long process is like, and
it's probably have
my hand in there
for sure. Yeah, I marvel at. I mean, that's hard work for sure. And like some of the times, like they're in Houston in the summer or like in Philly in the winter. Like it's like not the most fun times to be there, like hot as shit or even raining every day where they have to build tarps to like actually work in it and stuff. Like it's just the show must go on mentality. It's they're fucking working their ass off and they're making the best shit to skate, so it's like win-win for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're just oftentimes just building it in a dirt lot or something. Like they're just making magic on just some dirt.
It's endless. Like there's always, and now I've been talking about the pump tracks. I'm like, I can't wait to see where they take the pump track, because especially for yourself, I bet, like as a BMX enthusiast, like imagine a pump track that's more like a bike track where it's just like you're launching to another pump track and there's obstacles or whatever. There's so much that could be done in that world that could be like really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And also just the more and more places build them, the more and more other places get used to the idea of pump tracks.
Yeah.
And so just, yeah, sure. Why not?
Yeah. Bring it for sure. If you're out in the wild in Sacramento, you haven't called anybody, who are you most likely to see out of all the skaters that live up there?
Well, I live right near the downtown. And so I have a handful of buddies that we all live in a similar little area and we're always hanging out right around here. So I'm definitely most likely to see like one of my two good friends, like either Sean Blewett or my buddy, Ben Wallace.
Okay.
And they'll just be like skating. We have a little barrier DIY spot. That's a hot spot. That's just a couple blocks away. And then a few other little spots right in town. And there's a skate shop right by there too. Dog Pound.
Ah,
so that's a local hangout.
Is the half pipe still going? I think Folsom, or what's the name?
Yeah, the Folsom.
Yeah.
They have two different half pipes now. So they took down their 10-foot tall vert ramp, but now they have like a 6 and 8 foot high ramp and then like a 3 foot high ramp.
Oh, okay.
So they've changed up their compound.
And the indoor spot's still going, the little park in the hangar?
Yeah, the indoor park's still going strong.
Sick. Who works there now? Anybody? Is Jed or Pales or?
I'm not sure. I don't think that they work there at this time, but it's been a little while since I've been up there.
Okay. Hell yeah.
Yeah, we're lucky to have it. The city likes it. And we had a meeting there recently that I was a part of where they were just trying to think of ideas of how they can improve it or how they can make it like last longer or make it more accessible or things like that.
Dude, I thought we accidentally ended that place. It was a King of the Road. You hear about that?
Oh yeah.
Fuck, dude.
Yeah.
Also, we went in for the midway points. We didn't know, but like fireworks had gone off, whatever. And then we come out and there's fire trucks and everything and this huge fire. And they're like, underneath this area is this, all this, like, it was sketchy. And we're just like, oh no, fucked up. And then Clive just took the hit for everybody. He's just like, I did it. We're like, damn. That was pretty impressive to see, like, because they were like, we're not letting you guys go until somebody admits to what happened here.
Yeah, yeah, that's crazy.
Dude, that was a fucking crazy one. Can you think of a time that you've been the most scared?
Well, I did break my leg in the last couple of years, so that was interesting. But it was kind of just like, I just was just, you know, I just felt like I was ghost white and just wanted to stare at it.
But, was that at the Swamp Fest?
Yeah, that was, yeah, a couple years ago.
Dude, I think they had that on live Instagram.
Maybe.
I think there was like some Instagram thing and we were watching it and that happened. And I was just like, no way. That is that place, like, have you been to Skatopia?
No, I never have.
How do you explain Swamp Fest to someone who has no idea?
In a nutshell, It's hosted at a dirt bike track, like right on the starting, this like just a big wide open dirt area, just right next to the track. And then it's just these super cool, passionate BMX guys. They just had this dream for an event where they just make everything on the spot out of whatever they can find and just make it as exciting as possible and then destroy it all and just, in three, like after 2 or 3 days of the event, it's just completely gone. Basically,
it looks like a fucking insanity. Like it, I don't know if it's gonna last because it's so crazy. Like, I feel like they're gonna, yeah, so but it is in Florida, so anything goes kind of mentality out there sometimes too. But yeah, would you go back?
I would potentially. I was like, one of the things I like the most is just how they can just freestyle so much. Like for bikes, it's because it's a little bit easier than for skateboards. Like to build like a giant wood skate park and then tear it down in a few days is like a little bit more ridiculous than what they do. And so they can just pull it off with like just lots of particle board, some mason, some skate light, and just lots of pallets and just whatever they can get to make structure pretty much.
Right.
And so I love that about it. And they'll build dirt jumps right there. They'll have the dirt bike track is pretty much open. And then all of the obstacles are open. And so, and then it's just a full free for all to just like, to just bike or skate or ride dirt bikes or just send it. And people sure do.
You weren't there the year Chris Russell got hit in the eye, were you?
Yeah.
That was the same year?
That was the next year.
Oh, okay. So you went 2 years in a row?
Yeah.
Holy shit, that seemed fucking gnarly. That I talked to Chris right after that, and it seemed like, dude, literally I talked to him, and he was like, I got like 6 surgeries ahead of me. Like, he was so tripping and bummed and all this shit. And then literally, like, I'm going to say a month, I'm watching him rip somewhere, and I'm like, wait, what happened? I thought you couldn't see. Like, what? It was crazy.
Yeah, I think he is still dealing with that for sure, and like has you know, symptoms, and he's not got 100% vision, but he's like, you know, to lose your eye is like a big shock. And it's just, it's also probably just been like, you know, like ironically, like an eye opener maybe at, to a certain degree for a couple things. Like maybe he just, you know, he's just stoked and he just wants to like make the most of the opportunities that he has. And like, you know, if you were to get your leg cut off, you would run like that day. You know, if you had going to get your leg cut off tomorrow, you're going to run today. type of thing. And so he's just like, man, I'm skating. Like, it's like, I almost lost my eye. I'm skating.
Fuck. Yeah. It's like our dog who's barking right now is on its last leg. So we've just been going 100%, like full throttle, like whatever we can do with it, like trying to just enjoy as much as you can. I mean, obviously, yeah, that's the mentality. I was wondering, because I never hear this about you. Did you ever get into snowboarding, being up in the mountains and stuff? Is that your thing or no?
Yeah, I grew up like skiing and snowboarding quite a bit. And at the high school that I went to in Auburn, and then also at, I went to college at Sacramento State University. They had snowboard teams that are like school sanctioned, and we were able to like skip half a day of school once a week and stuff like that to go practice and go like make our sport happen. And so I took those opportunities. And so I like even have competed at, in, to some degree, snowboarding for a number of years. And I love it. It's like just another, just amazing
catch air
sports thing that we have in our area where I'm at here. And so I grew up doing it. I love it. I totally see it like helping me. It helped me in my skating, and skating helped me in my snowboarding. Like I could do rails snowboarding like super good, like way better than I can do skateboarding. And when I skate, I imagine like, oh man, if I was on a snowboard, like I could just do that right now. And it's just a perfect cross training type of thing. I've taken like a step away from it though the last few years. So I haven't been on the snow in a few years.
It's just expensive. Unless you have the hookup, it's a fucking big dollar day.
Yeah, totally.
Right. And do you surf at all?
No. I've just never really like just made it to surfing. Like my dad's like big goal with teaching me skateboarding was to get me surfing, because that's one of his life passions above skateboarding. And he lives on a boat now in Chula Vista, California.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so he's like, he moved from Auburn back down there, and he's like, I'm getting on a boat. I'm getting next to the water. And cause you know, the water is my passion. The surf is my passion.
Okay.
And, but it's just never really, he's only tried to teach me once when I was like a little kid. So I've still only tried once ever.
That's a tough one. I mean, you have to know how to swim good. You have to have good upper body strength. Like it's, and the thing, obviously the biggest part of it is like the waves aren't just consistent, you know, like you can go out your door, throw your skateboard down and skate. You can go up to the snow. If there is snow, go up the lift and bomb down the hill. You could go into the ocean with a surfboard, sit there all day and not even see a wave. So it's like, you have to know the conditions, you have to go to the right place, you have to deal with like popularity and like fighting for the wave. Like there's so much element to it. I always say like, I got respect for it because I got respect for the ocean, and it's just not easy to surf. I've tried it a few times and it's like, my bros go at fucking, before the sun comes up, they suit up, and the minute the sun barely comes up, they're running into the ocean. Like it's freezing up here too. Like it's just like there's so many things going against you. Like you really gotta want it if you're doing it up here, I think.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But it, yeah, you do have the opportunity to not have it be as crowded, because when I go to Southern California, I'm like, this is a joke. Like,
yeah.
So you know, NorCal has its advantages too compared to SoCal, but yeah, it has a lot of disadvantages.
Okay, I put together a fun little this or that thing. I've never really done this before. I was going to try it out. So some of these might not work. Some of them might. Who knows? But let's give it a go. This or that. This or that. This or that. This or that. Weed or brew?
Weed.
Burger or dog?
Burger.
Metal or punk?
Metal.
Rap or reggae?
Rap.
Fishing or golfing?
Fishing.
Blonde or brunette?
Blonde.
Snowboard or mountain bike?
Mountain bike.
Yuba River or the Sac River?
Yuba, for sure.
Vanilla or chocolate?
Vanilla.
Dog or cat?
I'll take dog.
Hell yeah.
And the final one, I know you hang out with two guys that I know. One says player a lot, one says bud a lot. So player or bud?
Player.
Hell yeah. Let's say you win Skater of the Year. Who is your crew and where do you go for the Thrasher article?
We are going to Fresno.
Is that real?
And it's going to be all my pool skater homies and just some of my buddies from Las Vegas that are pool skaters, some of my buddies from Arizona, maybe just maybe a couple East Coast guys in there. And then we're going to get some of the legends. We're going to get Cardiel in the van.
Oh,
we're
yeah.
Try to get maybe Pete the Ox, or we're going to get Hewitt. We're going to see if we can get Hits in town.
Yeah, that sounds like sick. That. And I think Burnett's going to be stoked because this is totally in our budget.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, sick, dude. That's a sick one.
Something like that. We're gonna rent gas pumps. We're just going to have like a whole truck full of gas pumps. So if we found a pool, we could just put like five in it at once.
Yeah.
And just evaporate it. And
maybe,
just
maybe pull yeah. Ryan Johnson or Lincoln or one of the old school Fresno heads out. Maybe get yeah, Al Peterson absolutely. To fly in. Yeah sounds good.
Yeah. Royce Nelson, he lives in the Bay Area. We've been yep. skating with him a little bit. Grants. He's on the list right there.
Yeah. I'm trying to get Royce on the program. He said he doesn't have enough interesting things to talk about. I was like, you are so wrong, my friend.
Yeah, totally. I know. You got to just find a, you could just slow-mo some of the clips of him like and just play him 100 times because people need to soak that up.
Absolutely. Yeah, I forgot, though, you did mention Cardiel. You guys live in the same city. Do you have a cool Cardiel story? Anything like intermixing with him? He's like totally, obviously yeah. everybody's favorite, one of the best to ever be a human being, skateboarder, snowboarder, just human, like John forever.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, a couple things. Like one thing that is really cool that I don't know if like it's not super common knowledge, I feel like, but Cardiel can mountain bike to like almost 100% abilities. Like there's no, like he is not disabled on his mountain bike. Like he is like in front of us and like just blazing the trail and like just as squirrely as ever and as like fast as ever, like on a mountain bike where there's like a slope and he doesn't have to pedal, he's just like can kill it. And so just getting an opportunity or getting opportunities to ride bikes with him and just see that in person is like, I feel like I've seen him skate down Lincoln City snake run, but it's been mountain biking because it's just like this berm, he's like blasting this berm, the next berm, he's just jumping off. He just sees a jump in the distance and he's just, you know, on
charging. It. Yeah. And have you so gone to Downeyville with him?
No, but we've gone to up to Tahoe, to North Star, one of the ski resorts where you ride the chairlifts up and then ride down. And there's some trails that are like made to be as smooth as they can make it and have jumps on them and stuff.
Mm.
And so that is seriously like, I'll never like, I feel like I've seen like what I need to see. Like I've gotten to see him. It's the same. It looks like him skating. It looks like him snowboarding, but it's him on the bike. Is how I can describe it. Cause it's like, it's identical. And he's like, that's just, he still gets to do that, which is incredible. And like, I think that he should have like maybe a mountain biking part and everyone would lose their mind because they'd be like, this is the Cardiel just filmed a video part and it's out. And it's like impressive.
We need to make that happen. Yeah. No, I know.
That and secondly, he's oftentimes like just riding his bike around town and he's really passionate about it too, which is cool. And like at a certain time when I was filming with Ewan for what's called the dystopia part that I made, and we were going to this one spot in Sac where it's a little wall ride around the ball thing. Mm-hmm. And Cardiel was there with us and he was like, I just found something I want to do and I want to film it right now. And we're just like, what are you talking about? And then just behind the monument was like this kind of smaller version. And he was like, I'm going to just hit this on my bike. And he was able to just rip this weird, like berm cement, curved cement structure thing that was on the backside of that monument and just totally like got a clip that day. Yes. But it was just on his like road bike. And so, yeah, that was like two of the most memorable things about him for sure. And they're both just bike related because that's just his, like, that's just how he gets to like express that same energy now.
That dude is Kindle. He's like forever. You can talk to him. And if you hang up, you're not anything but stoked. Like, he just like has this way about him that fires you up, whether it's skateboarding or not. Like, it could be just life. His natural way of being without trying is just this thing that everyone wishes they had, because it's like, ah, yeah, fuck. You know, like afterwards, you're like, I got to do it. Whatever I'm trying to do, I got to do it. And that's forever. John, it's such a privilege to know that dude and be a friend.
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel that. Well, dude, thanks for taking the time. You're going to do a full day of glass today?
Yep. Yeah, just about to.
What's your favorite color you like to use?
I like colors that are like weird green tones, and I like colors that are like translucent, and I like colors. I like using, some colors are harder to work with than others. Like, just the, I'll buy what's called a stick of color in any shade or whatever, but I'll buy it as a stick usually. And then just that stick, when I put it in the fire, some colors, the stick will just like start to boil and just look nasty. And the color will like cook off or get gross or weird just instantly. And other ones you can stick in the fire and it just stays perfect. And then you can just make whatever shape you want. And it stays, keeps that same like glossiness and tone and whatever. So I like just using colors that are easy when I can. I really like the tan color. That's like the worn urethane looking color.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of my favorites to use, because it's just like specific to skateboarding and unique and kind of weird.
Do you have a website or something where people can like order from you or see your work or anything like that?
I have a website coming out in the next week, basically. But if this comes out before then a lot of people also, I encourage them to reach out through Instagram and message me there. But I do also have a website, jworthglass.com, coming right down the line right now.
In the works. I love this, dude. That's good, man. See, entrepreneur, skater, the whole deal, and a fucking diploma. Like, dad's got to be proud.
Yeah, totally. I'm an Eagle Scout, too. That's another, like, big one.
Throw that in there. Yeah.
Totally. But,
yeah, dude.
Do what I can.
I do have this dream that I'm going to go to Sacramento for like a long weekend and try to like get together with a bunch of people and do something like fun. Me and Pales have been talking about like this idea, because there's so many dudes up there and stuff that could be like, I don't know, get a jam somewhere or whatever. But yeah, keep me in mind if you're down this way.
Yeah, totally. Sounds good.
Appreciate you, man. I'm gonna hit you up soon too, because I want black and orange glass, and I just don't know what I want it to be yet. But
awesome, sweet,
yeah,
sounds good.
Thanks for the time, dude. Appreciate you.
Yeah, of course. Thank you.
Okay, take care.
And now a word from our sponsor, Oro Coffee. That's some damn good coffee. Order one or six bags at orocoffeeroasters.com.
Y'all like music? Because you're listening to SMFM.
Welcome back. Welcome back, you beauties, you beautiful people. Thanks for sticking around again for another episode of SMFM, where this episode brings us from Missoula, Montana, Big Sky Country, Bacon and Egg, with the song Prepared to Rock. That was Bacon and Egg from Missoula, Montana. You can hear / find out more about them on their Instagram at BaconMT. That's at BaconMT. Shout out. Oh, before we conclude, I want to give props to Tony Roberts on that last episode. All right. Because if you told 15-year-old me, all right, that I'd be sharing a podcast with the guy who made Speed Freaks, I would have been like, what the fuck is a podcast? Until next time, good people. SMFM on Talking Schmidt. Only.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Talking Schmidt. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Anchor, Spotify, or anywhere you get your podcasts. When you subscribe, you'll get notifications every Tuesday of new episodes the minute they become available. Also, please leave reviews and a 5-star rating. It's the best way to help the show grow. All of the episodes will always remain free, but if you would like to help support the show, you can do so at talkingschmidt.com, where you can pick up some merchandise like t-shirts, beanies, hats, and stickers. The website has an entire archive of all of the episodes, with extra photos and videos. Email us with any suggestions, comments, or ways that the show may have improved your life at talkingschmidt@gmail.com. All interviews are conducted, edited, and produced by Schmitty. The intro music is Mary's Cross by the band Nature. A very special shout-out goes to the executive director, Cheryl Camisa.
Shout-out.
Love it!
This is Talking Schmidt, where the Rolodex is deep, but the conversation is deeper.
Keep the wheels greased.